Well, hey, boys.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley with the biggest stories of the day. It's the Big Three at Three. Number one.
All right, number one, we are live here in Tomball. Come on out, hang out with us. We are here until 6 o'clock. A little thirsty Thursday. Come out, make a bad decision. That looks like my man's second beer right there, so he is well on his way. Look out for his wife, because he's ready to go and ready to have a good time after this thing. So come and hang out with us, and you can get that way as well. 6 o'clock, we'll be here. We got out multiple prizes that starts in this hour. $25 Visa gift card, two of them, a cooler, and that also has access for a cooler that is at the bottom of a nice lawn chair, as well as a pair of tickets to the Jags Texans game with a Budweiser tailgate ticket wristband where you can get some free drinks, free food, that is happening throughout the show. All of that courtesy of our great friends at Bud Light. I think the Bud Light girls will be out here as well soon too, so come on out and have a good time with us here. But Clint, let's get right to the injury report. We talked about how important today would be. And I think there are two positions that really jump out. One thing real quick, Nico Collins, who didn't practice yesterday with a hip and foot, he returned to practice today. We'll get the full injury report here in a bit and pass it along to you. But the names that jump out from reports of being out there, Clint, also Foley returned to practice as well, too. He missed yesterday. But the running backs, Joe Mixon and Damian Pierce, remain sidelined. They did not practice, one with a hamstring, one with the ankle. And then it looks like from reports of Aaron Wilson that Cam Akers is prepping to be the running back one in this game coming up against the Vikings. And then the other position of concern, this one better news, Juice Scruggs, who missed yesterday's practice and missed last week's game, as well as Jarrett Patterson, who had a calf issue and missed yesterday's practice. Both of them returned to practice, and the belief is, barring some sort of a setback, Juice Scruggs is going to be back. So those two positions, we saw the top two guys didn't practice yesterday at both positions. It remains that way at the running back position, but changes now at the center position. Which one jumps out to you as the bigger issue or the bigger situation right now?
Look, I think without a doubt the bigger situation is Juice Scruggs. I mean, you're starting center this week. You're facing a defense. It's going to be very multiple. They're going to be moving. So pre-snap and post-snap, the communication is going to be top priority. And you'd rather have your guy that's been with your quarterback communicating with the offensive line all throughout training camp. You'd rather have that guy than your third string, Kendrick Green, just from a communication standpoint. Then we can get into the physical ability. Obviously, Juice Scruggs, they ran the football really well with Juice Scruggs. How much did that impact him last week against that defense? I don't know how much it did or didn't. We'll see if he goes this week. So I think the biggest concern or the biggest question mark here is definitely Juice Scruggs. You get him back, I don't care who's toting the rock. Obviously, Joe Mixon is the best running back. But when it's all said and done, if you've got your center and you've got five offensive linemen up there that are working together and they're creating opportunities, they're creating seams, they're you know, pinning the edge and allowing the running back to get outside on that outside zone like they did in week one, Cam Akers can get that done.
So what you're saying right now, in a one-game situation, it's more important to have the offensive line intact. To potentially present what they did against the Colts as opposed to what happened with the Bears.
When you're talking about a center, when you're talking about a center that is one of the main communicators, other than CJ, obviously, and you're talking about a guy that's significantly better physically than the guy that's playing behind him, absolutely. I don't care if it's 1 week. I don't care if it's 5 weeks. Give me Juice Scruggs and whatever running back you put back there. I think Cam Akers, I'm higher on Cam Akers than most people. I think Cam Akers will be just fine.
I'm with you on a one game scenario. And you might have to lean on CJ and those receivers a little bit more in this game. And if you can get it blocked, to me, and that's where Juice comes in big time as well in the pass protection, because that suffered. Now, it wasn't great against the Colts, but that suffered some more. But if you have to save for a game, now we're talking about Joe Mixon out for a long period of time, that's a different thing. But you're talking about for a game, hey, we're going to have to lean on CJ a little bit for this game and those receivers, and then have Cam more as a compliment, as more than just leaning on somebody. Then I think you can do that for a game.
Well, yeah, look, whether we're running it or throwing it, I mean, having your center that's communicating things, hell, I'd say it's probably even more important in the pass protection aspect of things. They're going to get a million different looks. There's going to be a ton of movement, and there's going to be a ton of communication that needs to happen. And whether you're protecting the quarterback, which they didn't do well last week, or you're running the ball, which they didn't do well last week without Juice Scruggs, you're going to need this guy in the game. So, again, I don't care if it's 1 week or it's 1 month. If I've got a pick, give me my starting center, keep my offensive line whole, and put whoever you want at running back. These guys, if you block it well up front, hell, if you just block it decent up front, every guy that they've got at the running back position can go make hay.
Yeah, especially we saw what happened. As long as he doesn't fumble, we saw what happened with Cam Akers.
Yeah. Let's not beat a guy up because he fumbled. All right,
we don't like
beat
that.
Him. I just said let's as long not, as he doesn't I mean, fumble.
No, hey, man, no. It happens, man.
You can bring up the sign stealing for no reason. I'm just bringing up the fumbling.
I think stealing signs for a couple years and and winning a whole lot of long noise looks different than a guy.
Well, where'd you get a couple years, sir?
Well, I don't know how many years they were really stealing signs.
All right. Well, then say that, sir.
All right, here we go.
Oh, you wanted me to say fewer. My bad. I thought you meant it was going on longer. I got it now. My bad. It was only a week. They were only stealing signs for a week.
It was that one moment.
Yeah, it was that one opponent they just.
Yeah, the 1 year. Maybe that's what he's saying. All right. So we'll keep you updated. But that is big news that. Because I mean, you talk about not just your backup. Hell, you've been down to your third center, who's really your backup guard, sliding over. We've seen them make it work, but this is a really good D-line, at least the first couple of weeks, and we'll see who's running the ball. Because, I mean, if it's Cam Akers and those two aren't able to go, I mean, who's
– Dare, baby. Dare Agumba Wale and Cam Akers, British Brooks. It looks like British Brooks is running more – from what I heard, he's involved with the running back group a little bit more than the tight end fullback group. And so, it's it's opportunities, baby. Like I said, if that offensive line is whole and they're as good as they were, even remotely close to as good as they were week one, British Brooks can make hay.
Yeah, we'll see.
I'd rather not find out, but he can.
Yeah. Listen, we know they can if they got to throw it 42 times, we know they can do that.
That's the key. Even when it comes to the running back position, like forget running the ball. Like I hope we can run the football anywhere close to we did against Indy, and if we do, then that's great. But forget that part of it. You want to talk about the Texans this year? What you have to do extremely well. I mean, if you're going to match last year, what you have to do extremely well this year is protect. And again, they were not able to do that last week, and so that's the most alarming thing. And so any mind and body that you can get back that allows you to protect and have answers if the quarterback's under pressure, give me that guy first and foremost. We'll worry about running the football later.
Yeah. All right. So we'll keep you updated when the official injury report comes out for both teams as well. Justin Jefferson reported practice again today, so we'll let you know all of that, because that's a big deal on their end as well, their top threat for the Vikings. So all of that is as we continue a little bit later on right here live on the Drive.
Big 3-3, number 2.
And Tatis Jr. drills one to left field. This ball will be gone to left, just into the first row. Very similar spot to Manny Machado's home run. And the Padres take a 2-0 lead on Fernando Tatis, hitting his 19th home run of the year. The first pitch thrown by Caleb Orton. That ball hit pretty well to left, sending Yordan back again. Manny has his second of the game. Back-to-back home runs against Caleb Orton out of the pen here in the eighth inning. And the Padres opening up a 3-0 lead. Manny with home runs and back-to-back at-bats.
These guys all can get after it.
It's going to be possibly three in a row. Yordan back to the wall. Jumps and that's gone. Caleb Orton stands on the mound with his hand and his glove on top of his head. Can't believe what he is witnessing today. Back-to-back-to-back home runs coming out of the bullpen.
And the movie Major League, old Lou Brown said that to his pitching or his bench coach, you can go get him now.
Well, this is not good.
Yeah, that got away from Caleb. They had Yordan out there running wind sprints back to that wall. just repeatedly back-to-back-to-back times. Well, that was a 1-0 game that went back-to-back-to-back to made it 4-0 out of reach
that
game.
Quickly.
I mean, that's the eighth inning. You ain't lying. That escalated, boy. That was rough for old Ort. I don't know how many more times we're going to see him as Tyler has some choice words for that young man as a nickname. I don't know how many more times we're going to see him pitch in high leverage situation. I'm guessing not many more. He's a big fella, but damn, that got away from him.
Yeah, look, I mean, I've been a fan. I've enjoyed him. I've enjoyed him all year long watching him when he's got a little bit of action. I've enjoyed the big fella throwing the heat, and that was tough. That was a tough moment.
Yeah, that was a tough moment. They lose 4-0, and a lot right there as Tyler played those back-to-back-to-back homers. To me, the bigger deal is the nothing. And to me, listen, what I take away from this series, Clint, and because the Mariners are the Mariners, they lost again to the Yankees in 10 innings. and so they make up no ground in this. Like, this thing could have been interesting. They won the last two nights, and they were close games. They didn't have fools trying to steal home from third base with the bases loaded in a 3-0 count.
I'll see you in October.
They may have had a chance to catch up. So with them not, it looks like the Astros are going to make their way to the postseason. But what I took away from this series, Clint, is they really fought it against the good pitching of the Padres. And the Padres threw out three starters that would be similar to three starters that you would face in a postseason series. And the three starters, I think they'll throw out when they have a postseason series. Yu Darvish, King, and then Dylan Cease last night. And, Clint, those three starters in this series go 21 1/3 innings, and they give up three runs. And that's what the Astros were able to do. Three runs, two of the games they didn't score runs off of. I'm sorry, two runs, not three runs. Two of the games they didn't score any runs off of the starters. So that, to me, is something that the big thing that I took away from the series is, yo, this is the type of pitching you're going to face in the postseason, three-game series against the Twins or whoever, and you just really struggled against really good pitching.
Well, they clearly struggled. There's no doubt about that. But I just, as a fan, if the Astros don't make the run, or if and when they lose, if they don't win at all, and they don't win at all because the bats let them down, then I'm just gonna have to tip my cap and move on. I mean, if you know what I mean? If they run up against a buzzsaw and they got their three or four starters that are rolling and the Astros hitters don't get it done, and again, this lineup is as when they're swinging it well, they're as good as anybody in baseball damn near. And so you gotta hope that they're swinging it well when they're getting hot when it matters the most.
But hopefully when they face, you know, I mean, that's what the difference is in the postseason. You're getting everybody's top three starters, their best guys, as the Astros know it. And you got to come up with hits. And they had multiple opportunities, and they did, and they weren't able to do that. So Astros lose 2 of 3. They'll get ready to take on the Angels. By the way, Framber again continues. He goes 7 innings and pitches another really good game, 7 innings, 1 run, and then Caleb came in and it just went to hell. So that's the latest there as the Astros look to get back on against the Angels tonight at Minute Maid.
Big 3-3, number 3.
All right, Thursday night football tonight. Clint, Super Bowl and MVP pick tonight, gets his first home game as the Pats will head into New York. And Clint, I think a lot of people may have thought this would be an easy game. The way that the Patriots have played the first 2 weeks, I think that is a team that we are starting to view a little differently. Like, you know, sometimes you look at the schedule and you think, hell, the Texans are running into it now. I think people maybe thought the Vikings would be an easier opponent for the Texans. I think a lot of people looked at the Patriots, and the Texans will face them in a couple of weeks. The Patriots is an easier opponent. Their defense, their running game is pretty good, Clint. This is not the easy game that I think the Jets looked at before the season started.
I came out of the darkness.
And they need Aaron Rodgers to kind of step up. He has still not had in the first 2 weeks one of those kind of vintage Aaron Rodgers games. He's just been okay, and he did what he needed to do to beat the Titans. He just didn't make bonehead decisions and mistakes the way that Will Levis did on the other side. But it is interesting to see what kind of performance and how close this game is going to be tonight with the Jets.
Yeah, look, when I look at this game right here, I've watched some Aaron Rodgers. I watched quite a bit of the first week, and hell, we're watching right now some of last week's game versus the Titans. And Aaron Rodgers, to me, it's very apparent, did not play in the preseason. I mean, it's very apparent that yeah, I mean, he's missing easy, quick slants and now routes and you know, just missing underneath throws to his number one receiver, Garrett Wilson. And look, it's not a problem. It's just it appears to me to be rust. And so the biggest question is it rust, or has Father Time jumped on Aaron Rodgers? He's just not the same guy. We'll see as the season unfolds, but. Tonight, I would think in primetime football, if it's possible, we're going to get the best version of Aaron Rodgers. And in the New England Patriots, at the end of the day, shouldn't be a problem for him playing well.
Yes.
Now, if it's a tight ball game, and obviously, you know, the Jets, you know, don't – what is the line in this game?
Six and a half.
Say touchdown? Yeah, I mean, look, if the Jets don't cover that, you know, then I'd be surprised. Like I think they're a significantly better football team. But like you said, the Patriots have played above board, above expectations, and you know, we'll see.
Yeah, Tyler, can you guess the last time Aaron's thrown for 300 yards or more? How many games do you think it's been since the last time he threw for 300 yards?
How many games he's played in?
Yes.
I'm going to go 9.
24.
Oh, wow.
He has not thrown for 300 yards in his last 24 games.
Talk about a discount double
check. It's almost shocking to believe that he has not eclipsed 300 yards in the last 24 games. And I'm not even talking about the season he missed. So I don't know they need that guy tonight against this team, against the Patriots, but it would be nice – to just see him look closer like the guy that they
– Look, the Jets forget Aaron Rodgers for a minute. Just the Jets as a whole, I mean, they are so far ahead of where the New England Patriots should be. If they are anywhere remotely close to being the Super Bowl contending team, hell, that I think they are, at least talent-wise, and that I'm sure they think they are, this should be a – there should be a – as we watch this game – there should be a noticeable difference of one of these teams is a Super Bowl caliber team. The other team is trying to figure out who they are underneath a first year coach and a journeyman quarterback, and you know they're trying to find their footing. That's what tonight should look like. But hey, you got to roll it out there and play ball, and you never know.
A player we haven't really talked about a lot with the Texans. I'm just curious how people have judged his performance thus far. We'll talk about that coming up next.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Tomball, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Third down at 16 from the Bears 40. Williams in the gut. Back to pass. Fires left sideline and intercepted. Stingley's got it. The Texans with the takeaway. Derek Stingley Jr., he's at it again.
All right, that was a big play in the game. One of the two interceptions, the two corners, him and Lassiter had two picks of Caleb Williams on Sunday night, and Derek Stingley got one of them to help secure that win there for the Texans. And Derek Stingley is a guy I want to get to.
You're a Texan, man.
There you go. Thanks, Cal. And I just want to tell Cal, man, I don't know. I don't know if Hannah is doing this. You ain't got to wear that suit, man. If you don't want to, man, whatever you want to wear, Cal. I'm just telling you, man, if you want to go polo, if you want to wear one of your you know, get you an H-Down T-shirt.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, Cal be rocking them suits to the game, and I feel I feel like
every home game ever.
I feel like Cal want to throw some jeans on, and I just want to tell Cal, man, you can do that. I'm just giving that to you. You can bang out you some jeans and just really come casual if you like to. I mean, it's your spot. So I mean, I'm just, yeah. You don't want to see Cal on Sunday in some jeans and comfortable.
I mean, look, I don't care what Cal wears.
But you'd rather him in a suit.
Well, I mean, I'm all right with the owner of the team representing on game day in a suit. Yeah, I'm cool with that.
I mean, I'm sure he can. I'm just saying.
I know we're awfully relaxed in 2024. Thank you.
Yeah, relaxed, man.
Cal will be all right.
Tuck your polo in if you want to. I'm just saying, Cal, if you want to just kind of just be a little casual, a little bit more comfortable, go ahead, man.
That's cookout day, man.
That's
when you cook out with Cal. He'll wear a polo or something. He ain't wearing no polo on game day.
Throw your 7 jersey on, Cal, if you want to. Put you some jeans on. Throw your 7. I really would appreciate it if he'd have gone in.
Let me tell you, let's be honest. Hannah's dressed to the nines. She ain't letting him put on no damn polo. Hannah said, if I'm fixing to put this on, your ass ain't putting on no polo, boss. You can wear your boots, your jeans, but you're putting on a custom jacket
now. Get your boots and jeans. Okay, that's fine. I mean, you know.
Is he suited all the way
around? Oh, he's full suited, yeah.
Well, you've been really checking on Cal, ain't you?
They showed when they went to his box, and they showed him, and they showed everybody up there in his box. He was full.
Speaking
naked.
Of Ray Childress.
Ray Childress up there.
Ray Childress. That's I'm gonna tell you, back in the day, man, Mom was a big fan. I Ray Childress is one that I remember. I'm old enough to remember Ray Childress.
I remember Ray Childress. His
face still looks the same. Now he's a tad bit smaller, but his face still looks great.
Sports Radio 610, Houston Texans breaking news.
All right, what's the breaking news, Tyler?
Nothing too groundbreaking here, boys, but we do have Texans news. It's following up on what we already knew yesterday, and that is that Brevin Jordan is injured. The Texans say that Brevin Jordan has a tear in his ACL, and his season is done.
Yeah.
Since that, right? I mean, everybody was, it wasn't like he's going to be out for a couple of weeks. Everybody was, their heart was broke for Brevin, so you knew something was a little bit.
B. Scott was on with us yesterday for the Texans report. He was saying it felt like potentially the season. And are they saying that it's the season, Tyler? I'm guessing torn ACL.
Yes, the season. And also, I will add, that is reported by Aaron Wilson of KPRC2. Texans tight end Brevin Jordan, he's done for 2024 with the torn ACL.
If that was Jerry Rice, I would hold out hope that he may return. But nobody else has done it except for him. So Brevin Jordan, torn ACL. I didn't even see it. I didn't even see when he got hurt. Torn ACL, and he is going to be out for the season. All right. We did enter this thing talking about Derek Stingley with that highlight and his pick. How would you all describe the first 2 weeks, the play of Derek Stingley? What would be the word that you would use? You could text it in 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, what would be the word you would use to describe the first 2 weeks this year of the play of Derek Stingley? We played that in. He got that interception off of Caleb Williams. But how would you describe his play?
Fine. I mean,
fine.
It's been,
Jake Myers.
Where are you going with this?
Just saying, Jake. I'm just fine.
No, not even saying about Jake Myers. Where are you going with this?
I'm just asking. I'm asking you.
Don't put it on me. I know you got something you want to talk about.
I'm not throwing it out.
Go on, put it out there, man.
Tyler, where are you at?
Tyler, you see what he's up
I'm
to,
going
Tyler.
Around the horn.
He don't want to go on and pull the Band-Aid off, man. He wants to see if you can tee it up.
Text line coming in solid, but could be better from the text line. Two solids. Where are you at, Tyler? Inconsistent coming from YouTube and Twitch. Solid. Where are you at, Tyler?
What's your question, sir?
Derek Stingley. Sorry about
that. A lot
that.
Going on back here at the studio.
Derek Stingley. Well, put a hold on to it. No, I'm just kidding. Derek Stingley, how would you describe, one word, how would you describe his play the first 2 weeks?
The first 2 weeks?
Yeah, the first 2 weeks.
Not eyebrow raising.
Okay, multiple words, not eyebrow raising.
Oh, I didn't know you said single word. I'm sorry. I'll do better next time. I'll follow instructions.
You ran them together, and it felt not eyebrow raising from him. Listen, I would, as you said, fine, which is Jake Myers, as we know here, improving from the text line. For me, it has been a bit disappointing. That interception he made was a great play, and he does his thing there. But overall, I think coming in, you're like, yo, this dude could be playing at an all-pro level. He could be an all-pro. We heard multiple times from different people this could be one of the top three corners in the league. And I think DJ Moore kind of got him a few times. We know there were some misses in that Colts game, even though they weren't completed. But I would say I'm a bit disappointed from him. Someone else texting in, lackluster. Let's hold it together, fellas. It was a bit disappointing. I would have thought he would brought more to the table up to this point thus far. Not saying that it won't get better, but through the first two games, I've expected more out of Derek Stingley.
Yeah, look, I think there's been some almost lack of interest, kind of a slow start component to Derek Stingley Jr. I think some of the stuff he's...
When you say lack of interest, he's appeared?
Well, just almost like he's bored and just kind of the underneath stuff doesn't interest him. And look, there's been some moments in two games where you're like, come on, man, you gotta tighten up and take that guy completely out of the game kind of deal, which he ultimately ended up doing. I'll say this about the overall cornerback play. I think the overall cornerback play is probably being somewhat blown out of proportion right now.
Would you?
You know, well, yeah, I mean, you have a defensive performance like you had last week, and clearly the pass rush was eating up Caleb Williams, and he had no idea. And the beneficiary of that, a good bit of the time, is your secondary. And then after the game with D'Amico Ryans and a lot of several players, I guess, talking about the rush and the coverage and how they're married and this and that. And while all that's true, ultimately the pressure up front is what causes the turnovers and the errant throws and the bad decisions. And so, like, I'm hesitant at this point right now to say, well, boy, you got Kamari Lassiter needs to be calling himself lockdown, right? And Derek Stingley needs to be talking about being all pro, which I know he wasn't. We were earlier in the year. Like, these guys are going to be fine. I'm not. I think overall the cornerback conversation is, let's not get too carried away after shutting down the Bears and all of a sudden act like we got two all pro guys out there. I mean, there's a lot to be seen about the corners with this football team, and after a Bears game is really not the time pulling the chain.
I think with Stingley's game against the Bears before that pick and really outside of that pick, I think he would like to have several plays back in that game with the pressure getting around. I mean, there were a couple of missed tackles and big plays made on him in that game, and then the Mitchell stuff in the first game with the Colts and Pierce. Like I said, man, I just think just a little disappointing for the expectation of him. All right, as we continue here, we'll hook somebody up with their first gift card coming up as soon as this segment ends. And we'll get right into Clint's wheelhouse here in just a second. And Tyler. Tyler is going to Minneapolis, and he has not yet revealed the jersey he got. He told us, oh, wait, do you see the jersey I got? I know he's going to rock it. Down at U.S. Bank Field, I need to get to the bottom of what jersey Tyler wouldn't purchase. That's coming up next.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Tomball. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, congratulations to our first winner, Tyrone. I was as shocked when I read that name, too, as you are. Tyrone, the first winner of a $25 Visa gift card. As soon as this segment ends, we will hook somebody up with a second one. Remember, coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, if you are on the streets and trying to head this way, we are at the Buffalo Wild Wings in Tomball. You can come out and hang out and win prizes. In the 4 o'clock hour, there is a nice little folding chair, little lounge chair that you can have. You can go tailgating with. You can go in the back patio and just chill out with it, courtesy of Bud Light. And also has a cooler attached to it. We'll be hooking you up with that in the 4 o'clock hour. And in the 5 o'clock hour, the big one, a pair of tickets to see the Jacksonville Jaguars come to Houston Texans. And also with that, Bud Light is hooking you up with a wristband for free food and drinks to tailgate coming up on that game as well. That's coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. All you got to do, come on in, sign your name, put it in our raffle box, and you give yourself a chance to win. I do want to get to your sweet spot because I do want to see where you are after a couple of weeks in college football, and we got to figure out what Tyler's going to wear. Somebody in text in and said Tyler's wearing a Kellen Mond jersey to the game on Sunday.
Cold day in hell, my friend.
Cold day in hell. He hated Kellen when he played for the Aggies.
I mean, in all seriousness, so why am I going to be wearing a Kellen Mond jersey to a Texans at Minnesota football game? Come on.
Well, yeah, there is a Minnesota Vikings Kellen Mond jersey, so I don't know.
You he might ain't there no that. More.
You might pick that up. You might wear that. I do want to get to that, but I don't know why this cracks me up. I just had the question, the one word or three words like Tyler, but one word that would describe the play of Derek Stingley the first 2 weeks. I said disappointing just because of the expectation. I mean, he ain't been terrible. He's been fine, like Clint said. Somebody to text in. I don't know why this just cracks me up. Somebody just text in. F you, Ron. Except they didn't say F you. Just F you, Ron. That's just where they
are.
That's
my boy, Ron.
I don't know why that tickled my ass, but I just F you. Just sit around, heard that thing, he typed it, and said, you know what, damn it, man. Get this in there. F you, Ron. And I'm going to press in on that ass, is what I'm going to do. I did tell him, man, I'll pass. Not really what I'm going for today. That was funny as hell. All right.
That may piss your wife off a bit.
Nah, she's fine. That's right. She's listening to it. She'll text. She's fine. All right, Clint. I was looking up these odds as we're, what are we, 3-4 weeks into the college football season, and they have Travis Hunter as the clear Heisman Trophy favorite as the best player in college football. Cam Ward behind him. Jackson Dart, one of your favorite players of all time. Jalen Milrow of Alabama. Quinn Ewers of Texas as well in the mix. Do you get the sense Travis Hunter, do you feel Travis Hunter is clearly the best player in college football and the favorite for the Heisman right now?
Absolutely. Really? Without a doubt. Without a doubt. I mean, he against Colorado State, he played 123 of 138 snaps.
That's got to slow this down. It was
he is averaging playing 129 snaps a game. And he clearly is one of, if not the best receiver on the field. And he clearly is one of, if not the best defensive back on the field every time he touches the field. And the crazy thing about Travis Hunter is it seems like this year, it's almost like he's establishing himself as a top wide receiver in the country, an NFL caliber, first round, top 20, top 15 type of wide receiver as well.
Yeah, everybody, because we always thought the corner was.
Well, you think Deion, he came in as a corner, you think the corner, and he's just going to play offense because it's what Deion did, and he's going to help the team win. No. I mean, he's literally their best wide receiver. It ain't no just help him win. He's the best wide receiver they got over there. So I think this is a guy that's got a legit decision to make in terms of what side of the ball is he going to play. I don't know that either one of them matter when it comes to when he's going to get drafted. And I think you'd have a hard time selling me that somebody is a better player in college football than a guy that's playing 129 snaps a game. I don't think there's much of a debate there, Ron.
My debate, and it is not right now, but we'll see, is my thought is, how many games does Colorado have to win for him to have a realistic shot to win it?
Not as many as most, but I get what you're
saying. You know what I mean? Like,
are you saying you don't think they can win that many, or can
they? That's what I'm saying. Like, if they win 6 games, is that enough for him to win the Heisman?
Ooh.
Because you know what I mean. You've been there. I don't know. Like, the last person to win this award that does what he does is Charles Woodson, right? And he's the only, I believe, the only defensive player to win the Heisman, and it primarily defensive player. But hell, Clint, you could argue that Travis is as much of as he plays as much on the offense as he does the defense of side of the ball right now. But like, to me, if they aren't bowl eligible, I don't see how he wins the Heisman.
Yeah, not getting to six would make it would make it real tough. Like, I don't think he has to win as many as Charles Woodson simply because he's a much better player than Charles was on the offensive side of the football.
And there's not Peyton Manning out there.
Yeah, it's I think they've got it. You're right. They got to be. If you don't get bowl eligible, you can't win it. I mean, I don't give a damn who you are. No matter how many positions you play, if you can't get to bowl eligible, you just ain't good enough.
Now, is that right though? Because the Heisman Trophy is supposed to be about the best player in college football and not necessarily the most valuable player, right? Is that what is that? That's what it's supposed to be. The Heisman Trophy is the best player and not necessarily the. But we have to add that in, right?
I can't remember the last time.
I can't either.
I can't remember the last time that a player from a team that wasn't bowl eligible was even considered.
Yeah.
Much less had a chance to win it.
Like even Tyler knows Johnny had to beat Alabama, and you know they got to a Cotton Bowl that year. They had to do something. Like to me, I feel like seven. He has to at least they have to at least win seven, Clint, and you know. It has to be a year where there's not a dominant guy, right? Like if Cam Ward continues to put up numbers like this and Miami is like undefeated, that's a hard one for him not to be able to get through. So I don't know. That's to me the biggest hurdle for Travis is how many games will his team win?
Yeah.
Because I don't think he can do it. I don't think he can get it done with five or six or seven. To me,
To win it, yeah, I agree. To get there, I think if he gets six to seven, he's there.
He's in New York.
No matter what the record is?
I think so. I think he's at least in New York. I think they'll want to – yeah, I think he's in New York. All right, Tyler, you're going to Minneapolis. I think you'll have a really good time there. I know you got some
–
get your Juicy Lucy, man. Get your Juicy Lucy when you get there, and just beware – of that bite. Don't kill yourself like I did when I bit into it and I couldn't eat for the next four or five days.
We'll never forget after that story you told.
Yeah, don't do that. But you said he told us he bought some new gear. He told us he bought a jersey or a couple. What you rocking? What are you rocking? Because 2 years ago you went to Denver and you decided for some odd reason to purchase that Davis Mills jersey and wear that.
Yes.
And then I believe you went with the D'Amico Ryan's Coach 59 T-shirt last year.
You are correct.
When you took that L in Carolina, what are you wearing? What are you wearing coming up? By the way, this would be three consecutive losses if the Texans lost to the Vikings with you going on the road. What jersey are you wearing coming up Sunday?
Yeah, I need a road win in a bad way for this little tradition to continue going to one away game for the Texans year. But the jersey I got for this trip to Minnesota, boys, it is clean. I'm going to be rocking the brand new Battle Red Texans jersey with, of course, CJ7 right there on the back.
CJ Stroud.
I knew it was good. I didn't think he would get spicy. I didn't think he would get spicy.
What do you mean he'd get spicy?
I thought he might go in like a Stingley direction.
Oh, I got
you. I thought he might go into a Tank Dell or maybe a Steph Diggs. If you'd have told me to guess, I would have said, because I know he wouldn't purchase this, I think he would have gone Diggs. That's what I would have guessed. But he goes Stroud. Okay, the Battle Red Stroud
jersey.
It's
clean.
Okay, yeah, you'll stick out with all that purple.
Now let's get this dub.
That red's pretty clean, man.
Oh, it definitely is. That, I'm telling you, man, that mannequin they had of Andre in that all red, that was most definitely.
I'm gonna be honest with you. I have a hard time finding one I don't like. I'm a pretty simple fella. That white with Houston across the chest is hard to miss. That's hard to go wrong with that one. But
I'm much rather the all white. That all white that they put together Sunday rather than the blue pants. I like the all white. I wish when they go on the road they went all white like that. Yeah. Yeah. All right, what you got coming up at the four?
Well, we got there's one thing. There's a lot of moves made, a lot of newness on the defensive side of the football made this year, really on the whole Texans organization. But the defensive side of the football, there's a couple of rookies playing, a couple of new faces that were game-changing type moves, that were win-now type moves. There's one of them that I'm really convinced was the right move and is going to work out exceptionally well. I'll tell you who that is and what position that is. And we'll hear from none other than one of the Bears tight end that got cold cocked last week. We'll hear from him and he'll tell us about that guy. We'll do that next.